We are up to page Samaches. We are in the middle of Halacha Dalit. Halacha, yesterday we learned about the bracha normally is over lasiyasan. Every time we do a mitzvah, we first make the bracha and then we do the mitzvah. For example, we put on tefillin. You make the bracha and then you put on the tefillin. Page Samaches. And the exception to this rule is the mitzvah hadlaka snare shel Shabbos. This is one of very few exceptions to the rule of the bracha is to be made over le'asiyas. The hadlaka snare shel Shabbos, first the woman lights the candles and then she makes the bracha. Because it is accepted that when the woman makes the bracha, that is her kabbalas Shabbos. So we have a problem. If she's going to first make the bracha and then light the candles in order that it should be lechatchila over lasiyos, and the bracha is taking place before the actual lighting of the candles, she's not able to light the candles, because once she makes the bracha, she's mekabel Shabbos. It's too late to light the candles. So the only solution is she should first light the candles, then make the bracha. But in order to have some token fulfillment of being over lasiyos, and the kids of Shulchan Aruch says she should cover her eyes when she makes the bracha. Her eyes should be covered, and that way the bracha is said before she has benefit from the neiros. Now, before we go further, there's a shiur mishamalapa. Let's discuss this, the custom. Okay, so to review, the kids of Shulchan Aruch said the ideal way for a woman to do, the ideal thing is for a woman to cover her eyes. If you look back on the page, on page Samach Zayin and the Kit Shulchan Aruch, you look down four lines down from the top. Uchadei shetehei habrocha over lasiyasan, parsha yodeha kineged paneha. She should put her hands on her face. Shloitire haneros, so she should not see the neros when she makes the bracha. Umivareches, she makes the bracha. It doesn't say close her eyes. It says to put her hands kineged paneha. Uparsha yodeha kineged paneha. I guess maybe she wants to keep her eyes open to see what it says in the siddur. Shloitire haneros, she should not see the neros. Umivareches, she makes the bracha. Umesira esayadaim, she then removes her hands and then she sees the neros. Now let me read to you what it says. Here, it's very interesting. Read you what it says here in The Radiance of Shabbos by Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn. He takes note that the Minhag Olam is not exactly like what it says in the Kitz Shulchan. Anyone ever seen your wife light candles?
Yes.
So what do? They do a lot of strange things. That's not what it says in the Kitzur. It says in the Kitzur, you put your hands on your eyes. So what exactly? So you're probably afraid to ask your wife what they're doing, but you don't want them to cast a spell on you, right? You don't want to start off with them. Don't ask, don't tell. You don't want. But let me tell you the secret. Let me tell you what they're really doing. What? Okay, so let me read you. This is very interesting. Now, the truth is, I'll tell you at the end. By the way, what it says here at the end is that there's really no makar. It was saved for Eishel Ho'ish. I don't know who that is. Kostam Shem Aran HaGoyim Rav Yosef Sholem Al Yashiv Zatzal Sha'av Shein Tam Boru L'minagzeh. Okay, whatever they're doing, okay, everyone does something different. I'll read you the different customs and I'll read you something very interesting. But whatever they're doing, you should be aware, Rav Al Yashiv said, there is no source to any of this. Shein Tam Boru L'minagzeh. However, Minog Yisrael Torah, the Ein Limchos B'mi Shinoi Kain. Don't object to anything that a woman does. Minogad the Neir Shabbos. Minog Yisrael Torah. Now, what are the various customs? Let's take a step back. Aruch Hashulchan says. That a woman should cover her eyes. That's pretty much what it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. A woman puts her hand in front of her face. Basically, she's covering her eyes when she makes the bracha, so that she should not see the neir, not derive benefit from the Or HaNer before she makes the bracha. Number two, Minhag Shalon. Now he quotes over here. Here he quotes Minhag Shalon. Shalon Shaisois Shaloshan. They do three things. Number one, he says Shemisimoy Sayadaim Lufnei Haneros. The second thing that they do is after they finish making the bracha, and while they're making the bracha, their hands are in front of their eyes, and their eyes sometimes are closed. Umakifos Hayadaim Lufnei Haneros. You then open your eyes and take your hands, I guess your reverse direction, and you makif. You make a circle with your hands around the neros. If you have two neros, so you circle the two neros. If you have a leichta that has 10 neros, you circle all the neros. Okay, you make a motion with your hand to circle the neros. If you have 20 neros, 36, we learned yesterday there's a minute of 36 neros. So you have to wave your hand all the neros. And the third thing they do is, they first put their hands, I made a mistake, one custom is to put your hands in front of the neros. We're going to explain all this. If you have two neros lit, you put your hands, you try to cover the neros. A second custom is to be makif the neros. Third custom is to put your hand in front of your eyes. Quotes three different customs. We pretty much do all three together. And he explains why. Again, to review the different sources. One custom is to cover your eyes. Another custom is don't cover your eyes, cover the neros. A third custom is to motion to be makif, to make a circle around the neros. Now he explains, there's everyone, I'm sure there's a familiar very chashev called Minag Yisrael Torah. The Mechaber was nifta very recently, and he writes here, he explains why is it the custom Bizman Azeh women do all three. What they do is they first cover their eyes and then they put their hand over the neros and then they're makif. So he explains, let me read you the exact words. V'ri'isi b'sefer Minag Yisrael Torah Shehizbir minik shalanu shemin hagam nimshach mimash shemetchila roitzes lasa so eitzah shekasu apayskim lohasim hayodayim lefnei haner. When they start out, they want to follow the custom of putting their hands in front of them to block out the light of the neros. They put their hands on top of the neros. But then what happens is achkevon shaharbe noshim madlikos neros harbe v'ef shul chasos kol haneros alkein l'chol apochos makivos hayadaim sav l'chol haneros. Then what happens is after a woman has many children, she can no longer, when you want to cover the neros, you only have two hands. And if you have three neros, it's not possible to cover with two hands only three neros. So what do you do? L'chatchila, they want to start out by covering the neros. But if there are more than two neros, you've only got two hands. So they makif the neros with their hands to show that these are all the neros. Then they realize you can't accomplish that either because you're still benefiting from the light. Kevan shadayin ein ze kisui kidboy shi efshar lechasos kol haneros bepamachas alkein mechasos einayim biyadeim umizei yaitzim yidei hakol. Okay, this is the way he presents it. It's fine. This is the way he presents it. There are three customs. Well, there are three customs. You start out by trying to cover the neros. But being that you have usually more than two neros and you can't cover all the neros, you then go for the next best thing is you try to cover. There's a fire here also. Mm-hmm. But when I move my hands to cover these neros, I'm exposing these neros. So you reach a point of frustration where you just know, instead of covering the neros, let me cover my eyes. The way he presents it is, you start out, when you make the bracha, you put your hand on top of two neros. And then, to recognize that these are not the only two neros, there are more neros, you circle all the neros to indicate that you would really like to block out the light of all the neros. But being that you're not really blocking out the light because you can't possibly do it, you then fall back on what it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Derech HaShulchan, is then you cover your eyes. So you do all three. Put your hand on the two neros, you makif all the neros, and you cover your eyes. All three are the same idea. In order to fulfill the concept of making the bracha before you derive benefit. Because when the moment you make the bracha, that's the moment when you makabel Shabbos. If you would make the bracha first, it would be too late for you to light the candles. You have no choice but to light the candles first, but you don't want to derive benefit from the candles until you make the bracha. So to show that you're not planning on deriving benefit, you block out the light. So when a woman first gets married, she only has two neros. So she blocks out the light before she makes the bracha. As her family gets larger and she has more than two neros, one ner for each child, or even l'chatchil, if she starts out lighting seven neros, and you realize by putting your hand on two neros, you're not blocking out all the light. You want to try to also show that you want to block out the light for this ner, for that ner, for that ner. So you put your hand on this ner and that ner and that ner. And in essence, what you're doing is you're encompassing your hands around all the neros to show, at least to express that it's your desire to block out the light of all the neros in order not to derive benefit from the light until you make the bracha. And then you come to the realization, or it's all part of the custom, is that what are you really doing over here? Doing a hand motion of blocking out all the light is not really blocking out the light, especially when you have more than two neros. It's not possible to block out all the light with just two hands. So then you do the third custom of, instead, what you do is close your eyes. You close your eyes, so you cover your hands, and then you make the bracha. So that explains the custom of what many women do. Cover the neros, encompass all the neros, and cover your eyes. Three different things to fulfill the same idea of it should be over la'asiyosan. Now, what about nen? When a man lights candles, does the man do all this? Does the man do the hocus pocus? No. The man does not do this. So nen, you see that? That's why you say shloyosani isha every day. Because when a man lights the candles, first of all, the order is reversed. You first make the bracha. Men can't, they're not so sophisticated. They can't do all these things. So men just makes the bracha, asher kiddushon b'mitzvot l'halik ner shel Shabbos, and then you light the candles, and you're done. There's nothing more to do. There's nothing more to do.
I'm standing, what happens at Shabbos, early in the morning, I'm saying brachas, and my wife happens to be in the room, and she wants to answer amen of my bracha.
Of course you can answer amen.
And I have a funny...
Shlo yosani isha. No, that's, it's your bracha. She can answer shlo yosani isha. There's no problem. Okay, so this is why is the man different? Because the man is not mekabel Shabbos with the recital of the bracha. It is only the custom of Noshim to be mekabel Shabbos when they recite the bracha. Women are not mekabel Shabbos when they recite, men are not mekabel Shabbos when they recite the bracha. Therefore, a man does it lechatil the proper way, where you do it over lasiyosan. I make the bracha. My bracha does not indicate mekabel Shabbos, and that's why I now can light the candles. Now, so those are the basic rules of how it's done. Now also we mentioned yesterday that there are times when a woman needs to do malacha after she lights candles. Let's say she needs to still put up the food, or she needs to travel in a car to go to shul, or she needs to go to mikvah, all different types of situations. So then a woman is allowed to make a tanai and say, I'm making the bracha with the kavana that it should not be a Kabbalah Shabbos, so I can do malacha after I light the candle. So the question now is, there are different customs. When a woman indeed does make a tanai, does the woman then change the order of the bracha and the lighting of the candle? So seemingly not. A woman is loy plug, she always does it in the same order. She first lights the candles, then makes the bracha, even though in this instance she's making a condition, I'm lighting and making the bracha al manas to go away. Still in all, a woman always does it in the same order, not so there should not be confusion. The only time there may be an exception, we discussed this a couple of weeks ago, is when a Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, there is no prohibition to light candles. You're allowed to light a candle on Yom Tov. Aish is mutter, but in Eichel Nefesh, or whenever there's a need for some purpose. So then there are opinions that hold that when a woman lights candles for Yom Tov, she should first make the bracha and then light the candles. Not everyone agrees. Many hold that a woman should always do the same thing. Even on Yom Tov, when technically she can make the bracha first and then light the candles, she should still first light the candles and then make the bracha in order to avoid confusion. Everyone has a different custom as what to do. Another interesting question. Let's say a woman... We mentioned yesterday that the minig is that there are at least two candles. Mikra, then you only need one candle. But the accepted custom is to light two candles. Keneged zohar v'shamar. And then there's a custom that you light an additional candle for each child. So the question is, and then some have a minute to light 7, light, we lend 10, 36, and so on and so forth. What happens if there's a mixed marriage? The wife comes from a family where her mother lights one candle per child. They have 12 children in the family, so she's lighting 14 candles. Her mother lights 14 candles every Shabbos. The Zohar Veshamar, they have 12 children, so they have 14 candles. She marries a man, a husband, comes from a family where they have 15 children. But his mother only lights 2 candles. That's the custom. There are many families that are like that. Adayomas, they only light 2 candles. So they get married. First 9 months, no problem, right? First 9 months, no problem, because there's only 2 candles to light. But then they have their first child, and now there's a fight. World War III breaks out. The husband says, "I'm the man of the house. I'm the man of the house. The rule is the wife has to follow all of my customs." And that's generally the rule. The general rule is, the rule of thumb is, when a woman gets married, she has to abandon all of the customs of her husband, of her home, her parents, and follow the customs of her husband. L'naf mina gebrokst. You eat gebrokst on Pesach. You follow the rule, the room of the man. So there's a dispute. The husband says, "You're only going to light 2 candles, like my mother." And the wife says, "What are you talking about? I grew up in a home where my mother lit 14 candles. I'm going to light for every child we have. I'm going to light an additional candle." Who wins this battle? So, rule of thumb is the husband wins. But this is the exception. This is the exception, because since Ner Shabbos is a mitzvah that's miyuchid, that's been given specifically to women, so with that came a perk. Package deal is, she has the right to follow the custom of her mother. And if her mother lights 1 candle per child, or the other way around, let's say her mother only lights 2, and his family they light 15 candles, 14 candles, whatever it is, and he wants his wife to light additional candles, he can tell his wife, she can say to him, "I'm going to follow the custom of my mother." That's how the place comes. It's a mitzvah miyuchid for an isha, and that brings with it the right that she can do what her mother does. She does not have to listen to her husband. Okay, another very common question is, a woman goes away for Shabbos. Let's say a woman from a large family. She has 12 children. She's lighting 14 candles every Shabbos. And now her husband treats her to go to a hotel for Shabbos. After all these years of marriage, finally, they're going away to a hotel. In the hotel, they only give you 2 candles to light. You can insist, "I want to light 15 candles. Or what? They'll charge you each candle. Or let's say she goes, she's a guest. They're going to a family simcha. And there's not that much space to light 15 candles. Does a woman have to light 15 candles every Shabbos? And the answer is no. She only has to light, when you go away, it's built into the rule, 2 candles. The custom of lighting additional candles is only when you are at home. When you go away for Shabbos, there is no obligation, there's only 2. There is no obligation of lighting additional candles when you go away for Shabbos. Then you have a right to be lenient and light 2 candles. However, the person can do so that if you go away for a month, if you go away for 4 Shabbosos, 30 days, then you have to light what you're accustomed to. When you light a certain number of candles, that's the beginning of a neder. If every single week at home you're lighting 14 candles, to a certain degree it's a neder. If you want to stop lighting 14 candles, you want to only light 2 candles from now on, candles are too expensive, you have to go to a chacham be matir neder. So if you go away for 1 Shabbos, or 2 Shabbosos, 3 Shabbosos, you can be mekel, it's not a violation of your neder, because it's only derech arai. But if you're going away, let's say, you're doing construction in your home, and you're going to your in-laws, or you're going to your parents, or you're going for a whole summer, you got a deal for a hotel, the whole summer you're going away, or you're going away an extended Pesach vacation, which is going to spend 4 Shabbosos, that's already like the laws of mezuzah, that's already called the keva. If you're going to be in the same place for 4 weeks, you're mechuyev to light what you're accustomed to, and if you don't want to light what you're accustomed to, then you're mechuyev to be matir neder. Okay, those are some side halachas. Yeah.
What happens if you go away for 8 weeks?
2 weeks here, 2 weeks there, so seemingly you don't have to light. It has to be in one place. It has to be like in a mezuzah. A mezuzah, you're in one place for 30 days. If you're 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there, every week I have a simcha somewhere else, the clock starts fresh. I heard a shayla, certain shayla of hilchas yichud, so somebody has to place what to do. So he said, you shouldn't, it's a complicated question, whatever the situation was, he says you shouldn't stay there for 30 days. You have to break the 30 days by going away one night. When you go away one night, the clock is reset. The Isser Yichud in this particular situation is only for 30 days. The clock, like a brother and sister. Brother and sister not allowed to live in the same house for 30 days. Let's say they're all alone. Parents went away to Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to be there for 2 months in the house. Ezer Shail of Yichud. So Mikra Adin, the brother and sister, there's no Isser Yichud unless you're there for 30 days together. So someone has a place. What do I do? I'm there for more than 30 days. So he says, just they told him two ways. Give away the keys to someone else, but that's not enough of a heter. You also should break the 30 days by spending one night out of the house. So seemingly it'll be the same exactly when it comes to rules of Shabbos. Going away for one Shabbos, not a problem, but being in one location for 30 days straight would be a problem where you need to light a...
The 29 days together is not yet.
That's the halacha. Halacha, everything in halacha has its rules, even though the Gemara talks, they ask exactly as your question. What's the difference between a mikvah, a tini mashahu, less, this amount of water it's kosher, and a tini mashu less? What's the difference? Practically speaking, the person can fit into the mikvah whether you're missing a tini mashu. That's the halacha. Halacha, you have to have a cutoff point everywhere in halacha.
So does that mean you have 3 weeks that you could light to, and then by the fourth week you have to light?
Yeah, like a mezuzah. Yeah, seemingly. But if you know in advance you're going to be there, I would imagine a mezuzah also. You buy a house, even though you're not there year for 30 days, but if you bought the house, you plan on being there, l'chatili, you're supposed to put the mezuzah right away. So l'chatili, the same thing. If you know you're going to be there for 30 days, l'chatili, the woman has to light all the neros. I mean, lighting all the neros is not like, it's not the end of the world, but it has a getter of a neder. A neder, this is what you're accustomed to, this is what you must do.
What about a second marriage? You have 12 and 15 kids, and a husband will support candles every...
I don't know the answer. I hear the question where we're... It's a very interesting question. Okay, second marriage for both, and the children, they live together in the same house. So how many candles does the wife light? A very good question. I don't know the answer. Interesting question. You're really good today. You're really sharp today. Okay. Now let's take a look at... Yeah.
Shabbos candles were set up based on the criteria of we light Shabbos candles for A, B, and C, three reasons. Why, based on those three reasons, why, if do they apply, why in reality do you have to light candles on Yom Kippur?
Same three reasons. You have to enjoy Onig Shabbos.
Same
three reasons.
Where it says Onig Shabbos,
Onig Yom Tov, you should enjoy the meal, you should be Shalom Bayis, you shouldn't trip over anything in the house, and to give honor to Yom Tov. It's the same three reasons. Absolutely. The same three are transferred over to Yom Tov. Yes, correct. Okay, now let's see over here on the bottom. He talks about a very important Shiloh, where a woman forgot to like him. This is a big machlekes hapayitzkim. He's taking the Shi'odim, Mitzvah Halacha is taking sides. He's quoting here Halacha of Shas HaTzorich. So this was on page Samaches. We learned here that a woman, she can, if she needs, to make a Tanai. She'll light the candles. She'll first light the candles. She'll make the bracha. And when she makes the bracha, she says, I'm making this bracha, but I'm only making the Tanai. I'm not in the Kabbal Shabbos with my bracha. Because I have to go somewhere. I have to get into the car. I have to drive to shul. I have to get on a bus and go to the Kaisal Hamaravi. I have to go to my in-laws. So I'm doing malacha, so she's allowed to do that. And it says in the Kitzur, she doesn't even have to verbalize the Tanai. She can make the Tanai in her heart, b'machshav, that's also sufficient. So the question here is, so we have this idea of making a Tanai. So he quotes over here, b'shas atzorech ayin b'magen Avram, on the bottom, zayin, the b'shas atchak im hu ben hashmoshes mitzavis la'akum lahalik v'hi tivarech. He says a very controversial p'sak halacha. What happens if a woman forgets to light candles? Emergency. Now, will she? If she forgot to light candles, that means for the rest of her life she's going to have to light an additional candle. She doesn't want that to happen. She forgot.
It's two different things.
Right, not an emergency. Correct. You're right. She forgot. Or well, let's say there was an emergency. Either or. As far as we're concerned here, either she forgot or there's an emergency. Is it still too late to light candles? The answer is no. Even after sunset. After sunset, halacha l'maisa, we paskin, you're not allowed to do malacha. But after sunset, for the next, let's say, 35 minutes at least, it's considered to be Bein Hashmashos. And Bein Hashmashos, you're allowed to ask a goy to do malacha on your behalf. We spent some time learning the laws of Amir Liakum. It is categorically forbidden for you to ask a goy to do malacha for you on Shabbos. There were three reasons why you can't ask a goy. V'daber davar, pasuk in Yeshaya, telling a goy to do malacha for you violates the sanctity of Shabbos. You're speaking words that involve chil Shabbos. The second reason is it's a zilusa, it's a zilzel, it degrades the sanctity of Shabbos when malacha has been done on your behalf. And the third reason is shalucha shel adam kemoso, when the goy does malacha, we attribute his actions to you. But these are all weak reasons. These are not reasons that are etched in stone. And the nafkamin is, there is no prohibition of a mil yakum during the time of Bein Hashmashos. From the time of sunset until three medium stars appear, it's called Bein Hashmashos, and you are allowed to instruct a goy to do malacha on your behalf. Therefore, this is not so uncommon. If a woman did not light candles and it's already sunset, she looks at her watch and it's already sunset, she's not allowed to light candles. But she lechatchila can tell the goy, you light the candles on my behalf. Now the question is, can she make a bracha? Now she's mechuyev to tell the goy because he has to be Ner Shabbos. Ner Shabbos must be because of covered Shabbos, Shalom Bayis, Einik Shabbos, there has to be the candles lit, but can she make the bracha? So here Rabbi Braun writes, a chiddush, she can make a bracha. The goy lights the candles, and she makes the bracha. Even though she is not doing the ma'isa hadlaka. Not everyone agrees. So over here in the Radiance of Shabbos, he presents other poskim. It's a very controversial psak halacha. Other poskim say she cannot make the bracha. Since she's not doing the ma'isa hadlaka, someone else is doing the ma'isa hadlaka, it's not enough for her. It's a mitzvah. The mitzvah has been done. There's no knas. Even that's not so simple. He even presents an opinion where if a woman forgot to light candles before sunset, and now a goy is lighting candles after sunset, she has to still light for the rest of her life an additional candle. Not everybody represents two opinions. There are two different opinions regarding this matter. I'm assuming the minhag olam is to be mekel. It's very rare for people to see people be machmir on this. They're always looking for an excuse to not to have to light an extra candle for the rest of your life. But there is such a thing. And he presents two opinions. Al-Khayra, the minhag olam is not to light an additional candle when a goy lights on your behalf, but can you make a bracha? He says here, yes. He holds lahalik v'hid tevarach, and she can still make the bracha. V'ayvri v'gadim, shechilik al-zeh, he disagrees. He presents the other side as well. Al-zeh, the Lord Shaykh, bracha, bideluka, v'yamedes, he holds that she cannot make a bracha. Okay, the Prima Gadim disagrees. If a goy lights neris on your behalf, good, the neris are lit, maybe very good, you're not going to have a knas for the rest of your life, you got away with it, you got the mitzvah was done, and there's no knas, but you cannot make the bracha, it's too late, you did not light the candles, it was lit by someone else, it's too late. Now he has another nafkamina. The ayin mishnah bura, shehevi sham yachvonim dim iyav shalom lahalik bezmano, tad likoydim azman, ubi bracha, he's saying a very big chiddush. Let's say, I'm not sure, that I haven't seen it in such, I have to really look it up. What happens if she has to light candles before Plag HaMincha? The earliest time you can light candles is Plag HaMincha. Plag HaMincha is an hour and 15 minutes before sunset. An hour and 15 minutes shows Zmanios, which can even be in the summertime, an hour and a half. An hour and a half, even more than that, even close to 2 hours before sunset. A woman could already light candles. Now, but before that, let's say 3 hours before Shabbos, nothing doing. You can't light candles. But let's say she has no choice. She's going to be out of it. Let's say she's not feeling well. And she has to go to doctors, or she has to go to sleep. She has to go to sleep for 3-4 hours. Or she's going to be traveling, whatever the situation is. And the only time she can light candles is 3 hours before Shabbos. So what should she do? Now, I didn't look inside, because the Rebbe Chiddush, he did discuss some of these things here before, but basically what it seems to say is she can light at the middle of the afternoon, as long as she has very early after. When is the earliest time? I'm assuming it means after Mincha.
Yeah. It's Friday.
Friday morning might be too early. I don't know the answer. Okay, I have to look into this more. I don't know the answer. What? Can you make a shliach to light on your behalf?
She's going to be out of it 3 hours. Her husband.
Yes, she can. But the husband makes the bracha then. The one.
Not around. She, another lady can light for.
Yeah, can light for her. But it all depends. Who's going to make the bracha? Yes, she can definitely make a shliach. But who will make the? Can they make the bracha? They have to live there to make the bracha. They have to at least eat there or live there to make the bracha.
The woman has to be there. To make
the woman. No, if she is not lighting, see, if she is not lighting, and she is not present, she definitely cannot make the bracha. The best that she can do is she can make the bracha bein hashmashos when she has benefit from the neros. She sees the neros. If she is not present, she cannot make the bracha. That's for sure. The bracha has to be over lasios. Now the bracha, you have to be in the presence of the light. So the shliach can only make the bracha if the shliach needs these neros. If the shliach is going to be eating there, or the shliach is going to be sleeping there, then perhaps. But if the person is just coming into your apartment and you call up for your neighbor, do me a favor, go into my house, light the candles for me, and then they're not eating there, not sleeping there, no, they can't make the bracha. That's not it's the chayv aspayis. Absolutely. If a guest comes, definitely. If a guest is going to eat there, and these are going to be the nearest of the bayis, and the balas habayis is not available, she can definitely have the guest light the candles on her behalf. Absolutely. Absolutely. But if she's not there, she's not there to answer amen. If she's there to answer amen, she can light herself. What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, did you have the
guy
make the bracha and say amen?
Can you have the guy, make the bracha? No. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Sorry.
Lighting so early.
Have the computer make the bracha. The computer is better than the guy, right?
No. Lighting so early, the result is not.
So you have to, of course, we're dealing with the situation where the candles will last into the night. You have very long candles, so you put a lot of the liquid. Today it's a new thing, the liquid, the paraffin, what's called paraffin, the liquid paraffin. They sell these little glasses, and they have these fiber wicks. They have special fiber. They have it in some shuls. They use it in some shuls. They use this. They have it in different colors.
Got it. You brought up a good point. A woman who's in the process of becoming a guest.
She lights candles. What is she? A woman who's in the process of becoming a guest. Does she light candles? I think she does. I believe.
Why should she? She's still a guy.
Training. A guy in training does you do the mitzvahs.
She can stop the training at any time.
You do one thing on Shabbos to Michal Shabbos, but everything else you still do. Yeah, it's part of the training process. Training wheels, like children. Children don't have mitzvahs, but you have them make all the brachas and you have them say Hashem. You do all, it's part of the training. I believe a geiris in training does light candles, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, but this is his chiddush, so he has a very big chiddush. You can light the candles before Plag HaMincha. Before Plag HaMincha. But of course, it goes without saying that when a woman was lighting candles before Plag HaMincha, it's too early to be Mekabel Shabbos. You could be Mechavet Shabbos. You can prepare. The lighting candles is the preparation for Shabbos. You can make the bracha even Friday afternoon. After Chatzos, I assume, after Chatzos, you can already make the bracha Lahalik Ner Shal Shabbos, because this is what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. These are candles that are being lit in honor of Shabbos, so you can make the bracha. But the problem is, when a woman, when she makes the bracha, she is Mekabel Shabbos. Before Plag HaMincha, it's too early to be Mekabel Shabbos. You can only formally accept upon yourself Shabbos an hour and 15 minutes before sunset. Shos Manios. So we have a problem. On the one hand, a woman can light the candles 3 hours before Shabbos. But on the other hand, when she makes the bracha, she's Mekabel Shabbos. So the two don't go together. Doesn't make sense. So the answer is, a woman should say, I'm lighting the candles in honor of Shabbos, but I'm making a tenai, I'm making it clear that I'm not attempting to be Mekabel Shabbos. Because if I'm about attempting Mekabel Shabbos, it would not work, because it's too early in Mekabel Shabbos. It's more than an hour and 50 minutes before Shabbos begins. So this is what he says, one more time, the words inside, the Ayin Mishnah Berurah, three lines down, and from the top of the bottom of the Shem Shem Halacha, Shehev Yisham Yachloinim, the Imi Yev Shalom Halik Bezmanah, before Plag HaMincha, Uvi Bracha, What it says before, you know, I'm not sure this is correct. I'm sure maybe what he means bisman. I could be making a mistake. It could be before plaga mincha. You can't make the bracha altogether. Okay, I have to go. He has it over here. I didn't read that part of the sefer. I take it back. What I said is not correct. I think what he says over here, what he just means exactly what it says above. He means a woman is being mekabel Shabbos an hour before. It's after Plag HaMincha. At least must be after Plag HaMincha. I think that's what he means. And then she can make the bracha, but she should make it tonight since there's such a long time until Shabbos begins and she wants to do melacha, she wants to take a shower, she wants to cook, she wants to do other things, and if for whatever reason she can't make the bracha, she can make the bracha now with it tonight that she's not being mekabel Shabbos. Okay, now we go to a next halacha, the halacha hey on the page. On page Samach Ches. Mitzvah halacha sanevus chola al bein al ha'anashim or bein halanashim. It's applies to men as well. Ella, the only difference is shehanashim musharos yoiser mibnei shehein mitzuyos babayis. A man is a guest in his wife's home. That is how halacha. It may be that the husband pays all the bills. The husband may pay all the bills. This is the way Chazal look at it. Chazal view a husband to be a guest in his wife's home. He pays the rent. That's what it says. The woman is the Ikeres Habayis, whether you like it or not.
She's the boss.
She wears the pants. She's the boss of the bias. When you step outside the threshold, of the bias, you're the boss. But inside the house, she's the boss, and therefore it's her obligation to make sure that there is illumination in the bias. Another reason why she lights candles, it's a punishment, or it's a tikkun. She extinguished the or shel olam. Adam Harishon was the light of the world. And Chava gave Adam to eat from the Eitz Hadas. She extinguished that light. And therefore she must rectify her sin for the rest of her existence by lighting the Neir Shel Shabbos. V'oy b'nei shikavsa Neir Shel Olam. Shehechetia la'Adam Harishon. She caused him to sin by giving him to eat from the Eitz Hadas. V'hechshicha nishmoso. She darkened his neshama. Shekuya Ner Elokim Nishmas Adam. The neshama of Adam has been darkened. K'mosh Nemar Elokim Nishmas Adam. L'chinef Eschichol Hi L'sakin Zos Bad Lokas Haneros L'chavot Shabbos. V'lchein Emo Isha Bebeisa Ki Kodem Es L'mitza Zayis Dif. If a woman is home and you're home with Shabbos with your wife, who has rights? Who has the right to light the candles? It is the wife. Umikom Akam Yesh L'ish Gam Kim L'si B'mitzvah. Ideally, the husband should assist. How does he assist? The sakein es haneros, the have oisan. He should put the candles into the candle holder. He should clean out the old wax. You have to know how, it's a lot of skill to do that. You got to know how to do that. You got to soak it in hot water and be very delicate. Don't ruin your leichter.
Did your father do that?
No, my father did not. Don't tell anyone. My mother did everything. But it says here that the husband is supposed to clean out the leichter and prepare the candles, and some even go so far to light it, to practice, to make sure that it's a good candle. It's a good, the candle works. To light it, to make sure it works. And then you blow it out.
Every Friday
a dry run, okay? If you have a son, Hainu Shagadli came. A husband should light the neros, the yich bomb, and put him out. So it should be easy to light after. And then the husband lights fine. The isha yolos b'shabbos arishon yalik bal vivarich. That's the chesh. I don't think we'll see what's on the bottom. The first week after a woman gives birth. Who lights the candles? The husband lights the candles. After the second week after she had a baby, go back to business as usual. The one who has in charge lights the candles, and no man should say to his wife, "Listen, I went to mikvah. I went to mikvah Erev Shabbos, and you're neither. So I am tohar and you're tameh. So let me be zoicha in lighting. I'll light it in a state of tahara. No such thing. No such excuse. You can't push off your wife and tell her I am more pure than you, and I will light even if she is a nida. That's not a problem. L'chatchila, she has the right to light the neros. Okay, let's see what it says in the bottom. Look what it says in the bottom. Here we are. B'Shabbos Harishon, Ayin B'Shut Taras Yikusiel, the Kala B'Pam Harishon, She Mischancha L'Mitzvah Salok, and Shabbos Yesh L'Vech Shechiyanu. Now he goes off the topic, but he first has another concept. A Kala, the first week that they're married, she makes a Shechiyanu. The first time she lights near Shabbos, she makes a Shechiyanu. Not everyone agrees to this Pesach Halacha. It's a controversial Pesach Halacha, but it's what he says in Taras Yikusiel. Also, the first time, the first time a Kala goes to Mikvah, she makes a bracha Shechiyanu. She makes Shechiyanu Asher, you make the regular bracha Asher, and she also makes a bracha of Shechiyanu. So same thing is here as well. Now it does not. I don't know more when it says in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. I didn't see the first week it says the husband lights. I don't know why. I don't know what the reason is. Is it because she's a chayla? She's ill. It's pressure. She's bedridden. Okay, in ancient times, you would stay, a woman would give birth, she'd stay in the hospital for how long? For 2 weeks. 8 days. Right? 8 days? 8 days, the bris was in the hospital. Today, that's not the derech. Derech is you're out. 48 hours, you're out no matter what. Insurance does not pay. And adraba, they say it's not healthy. They say, adraba, a hospital is not a place for a sick person. It's not a place for a sick person. The germs are floating around, the bacteria, we know too much. We know too much today. It's not a good place for a woman who just gave birth to be. They don't want to be up and around today after surgery. They drag you around. Right after anything, they pick you up and they have you moving around. They don't want you to sit around. They want you out of there as soon as possible. So what does this mean when it says in Kesach Shulchan Aruch? I do not know. Is this because it's something which is, she's a choyle, she's ill? This is the mindset of ancient medicine where we don't want sick people moving around. And the Mela, you're lying in bed, stay there. Don't get out of bed. If you're going to get out of bed, you may come with a sakana. So you know what? The husband is now given the role to light candles. And that obviously has changed. Today, women are not lying. A woman who has a healthy labor, everything is okay, Baruch Hashem, is not lying around. So that would revert back to the husband lighting the candles. Or is it because, maybe you'll tell me something, Al Pi Kabbalah, since the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch is throwing this in with going to mikvah, a woman after she gives birth is tamea for 7 days. There's Tumas Nida and there's Tumas Yoledes. Tumas Yoledes is a very severe form of Tumah. So maybe what it means is, maybe when a woman is in Nida, okay, it's no big deal, she can light candles. But when a woman gives birth, she is in a very severe form of a state of Tumah. And maybe therefore the husband and the navel should be lit in the state of Tahara. Maybe the husband. I don't know the answer. It doesn't seem that this is common today, not that I know of. Anyone, I'm sure you want us to remember when you had children. I don't think anyone here has telling me otherwise. Your wife always lit candles even the week after they gave birth. So it seems that this is not something that is accepted, it's followed.
Sometimes you have a
cesarean. That's another story. A woman that's not well, that's posh. A woman who's not well, who's bedridden, a woman who's bedridden, then the husband lights, or one of the children lights, and the child or the husband makes the bracha. That's posh. I'm talking about over here a woman who is not bedridden. She's running around. She's already in sacks. She gave birth. So she's already shopping for the baby, designer clothing for the baby, and now it's Erev Shabbos, planning for the Shalom Zachar. Who's going to light the candles? She just gets out of the taxi. What? Oh, the baby is going to light the candles. Okay. So where have I been hanging out? Bergdorf. That's where I've been hanging out. What? No, it says it's a machlekes apayskim. He says we do. He says kala does. Kala, ask your wife the first time. What?
Kala is before the wedding.
Right? Before the wedding. Yeah. No, the Kala for lighting candles is only after the wedding.
No,
for tefillah, mikvah, before the wedding. That's before the wedding. The first time doesn't make a difference. But the candles is the after the wedding. So it seems that the women do. It's machlekes apayiskim. He presents that they do. He does mention here in the art scroll that some don't agree with this psak halacha. You don't make a shachiyan. Yesh. So I'm not familiar with the custom. What is the women do? Do all girls light candles? Two candles? Or one candle? What do? They light one candle?
From 3 years old.
The girls shall light candles. One candle, two. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not familiar. I am not familiar.
From 3 years old.
My sisters never lit candles. Not Lubavitch. Well, I have a Sivus Hashem card. I still have it. I'm a standing member. I'm a soldier. Okay.
How early can a man Mekabel Shabbos?
Same exact thing, an hour and 15 minutes. Early Shabbos may not take place before Plag Mincha. An hour and 15 minutes Shazmanis before Shabbos. Okay, let's see what we got over here. Let's do one more halacha. Halacha Vav. Okay, this is another halacha that when they learn a light candle, they should light it. They should light candles, but they're covered. In other words, they should be ready for Shabbos. They shouldn't first light candles and then take a shower and then get dressed for Shabbos. However you're planning to be for Shabbos, it should be the last thing you do in honor of Shabbos. Nohagos Shabbos. Nohagos Hanoshim Shekoidim Hadlokas. First, the Rechatzos, they bathe. The Loivshos, big day Shabbos. The Ashrei Lohen, unfortunate are them. Utsrichos, Lespal, Mincha Tchila, another halacha. Once a woman is Mekabel Shabbos, it's too late to daven Mincha. It's already Shabbos. So if she is going to daven Mincha, not all women daven Mincha, but if this woman is from those who daven Mincha, she should daven Mincha before. Kiba halacha Sneiros, he Mekabel Shabbos alatzma. The Eina Yechol, Lespal, Lachakach, Mincha Shelchol. The Isha, Shenis Archa, Beas. A woman who's busy, she has delayed her preparations, there's a delay. If she's going to first bathe and get dressed, so you're cutting it very close, it's very dangerous, cutting very close. Mitzvah Yoser, it's better. It's better that she should light candles now, immediately, and make a tenai that the lighting of the candles do not constitute a Kabbalah Shabbos. Mishatovoi chas v'shalom l'day sotik chalol Shabbos. V'mabal roya shehi misarecha misacheres milavo. If the husband sees that his wife is delayed, then the husband should take the initiative and light. Just do it. He should just do it. Mitzvah gedoyla. Mitzvah gedoyla sheyad likhul v'al yashkiach bi. Even though she's going to scream bloody murder, she'll scream, "How dare you! How dare you take away my mitzvah? How dare you? What kind of a husband are you?" Grounds for divorce.
Yeah.
What? No.
The
Neiros are holy in that sense. You don't extinguish the Neiros Shabbos. The husband had a bracha.
Okay.
If you're going to extinguish the Neiros, and you're making his bracha, it's the bracha of Atala.
Okay.
So you're not allowed to do that.
When does her Shabbos begin?
When she, at that time, so if she's Mekabalit, if she says Mizma Shili Yama Shabbos, which she says I'm Mekabal Shabbos, it begins at that moment in time. If she does not Mekabal Shabbos, then by default, with sunset, and she lost out on Tosfos Shabbos.
Then she could
daven
Mincha after.
Then she could,
as long. You say it's not always like.
A woman generally spends Mekabel Shabbos with lighting candles, with the bracha. But if she does not light candles, then where is her Kabbalah?
She has to say when she's going to be after the candles, and then
she's going to say Mizmas Shuli Yama Shabbos. Normally, if you're not already Mekabel Shabbos, you are Mekabel Shabbos when you recite Mizmas Shuli Yama Shabbos. If a woman makes it tonight, I am not being Mekabel Shabbos by lighting the candles. I'm going to the Kosel, and she goes to the Kosel, and then she's delayed, and she meets someone. She has this long conversation before she turns around. Already, it's after sunset, so she has it's Shabbos. Shabbos has already. come upon her. But she lost out in Tosfos Shabbos because she was not mekabel Shabbos with the lighting of the candles, with the bracha, and because she did not recite Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos before sunset, so she lost that on Tosfos Shabbos.
She has to be before sunset.
L'chatchila should be before sunset. If you really want to be mekabel Shabbos, it should be done before sunset. Most shuls don't do it. Most shuls they don't make it. Most shuls, they daven mincha 10 minutes before sunset, and they finish mincha already after sunset.
See the shayla of the mizmor shel yom Shabbos. I mean, you walk into the chassidus shuls, they're saying daven Kabbalah Shabbos.
Yeah.
Talk about mincha.
Right, Kabbalah Shabbos.
Very late.
So it's questionable where do they get in Tosfos Shabbos? I don't know the answer. Where are they? How are they fulfilling Tosfos Shabbos if they're saying Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos so much? They're very late. See, it's one thing. Maybe you can say no, but there's a Tosfos Shabbos before as well. One thing you can say that even after sunset, there is still a degree of Tosfos Shabbos because it's not Vaday Laila. Bein Hashemoshos, in our opinion, is between sunset and Tzeis HaKichavim. So if you recite Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos after sunset, before three medium stars appear, you to a certain degree have fulfilled Tosfos Shabbos. But if you say Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos after three medium stars have appeared, it's hard to say that you will use Tosfos Shabbos. I don't know the answer. That's a problem. So you have to say that the Malamei Tzchus, that they are of the opinion that the Vaday Laila begins 72 minutes after sunset, Rabbeinu Tam. That's very true. They hold that Rabbeinu Tam, that's what they hold the Iker. Everything is the Chumrah. And Bein HaShemoshos is 13 minutes before 72 minutes. So as long as they're saying Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos before 13 minutes before 72 minutes, they have also fulfilled to a certain degree Tosfos Shabbos. Something along those lines. Now, this, as an outgrowth of this halacha, there's a very big debate with men do bizman hazeh. Many people have the custom in our times to daven Friday mincha early.
Yeah,
it's a new trend. If you work in a place where you have on Friday afternoon, you're able to daven mincha early. People are running to daven mincha early at 1:30, 1:50, whatever it is. And that there are rabbanim who object to this custom, to daven mincha early erev Shabbos, because what has happened is the mechayev daven mincha early. So now I can come to shul the very last moment Friday night. I'll come to shul for Kabbalah Shabbos, and I can catch up. They sing a kolbach Kabbalah Shabbos, so I can come a little bit late also. In the process, the men cut it very, very close. They're taking a shower, they're shaving, they're turning on lights, they're doing things until the very, very last minute, until sunset. And if you don't pay attention, it can happen by accident. You'll turn on a light, you'll do malacha after sunset, which is a shayla of Chil Shabbos. The olden days, where it was unheard of to daven mincha early on Friday, men, any responsible man would be in shul at least 10 minutes, would already be in shul at least 10 minutes before sunset to daven mincha. So if you're in shul 10 minutes before sunset to daven mincha, all of the malacha that you plan on doing in honor of Shabbos has been done before you left the house. So you'll never come to be mechal Shabbos when Shabbos has begun. But today, there's a new trend where people daven mincha early, and then you're coming to shul with sunset, you really cutting it very close. You have to pay close attention to make sure that you're not mechal Shabbos. You finish taking your shower and shaving and doing all these things before sunset. So this is an out of the same thing we have over here, that the kitzur is warning women that you have to be very careful. Make sure that you light candles before sunset. And if a husband sees that his wife is delayed, the husband should immediately light the candles and don't rely on his wife, because she's not going to pay attention to the clock, and she's maybe nichshol. She may light candles after sunset, and even though you know by lighting the candles for your wife, when she finds out you lit candles, she will be fuming mad at you, and she'll scream bloody murder. And exactly, the whole purpose of lighting candles is shalom bayis, and now the candles have turned into an instrument of a lack of shalom bayis. It doesn't matter. You should go for it, because chil Shabbos is what wins the day. to avoid Chil Shabbos. Okay, we have to stop here. Take a break.